Any?
Huh? Okay, Revelation chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees was for the healing of the nation. And Lord, bless us in the word today. Give us a greater understanding of that future time when we're in eternity. We're in a new heaven and a new earth. And we, the church, are with the Lord in the new Jerusalem. Bless our congregation today. Make it easy for us to share the good news of Jesus Christ and what he's prepared for those that love him and have believed in him. And we'll give you the thanks and praise in Christ's name. Amen and amen. I want to tell y'all something up front you may not know. We're not going to live in heaven. Y'all know that? Well, if you die today, you might go to heaven, but we're not going to live in heaven. We're going to live in the New Jerusalem, which will be created, or actually is created now. The Lord's gone to prepare us a place. But there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and the New Jerusalem's going to come down to the new earth. The new earth is going to be a new earth, wherein will dwell righteousness forever. So we're going to be living in the new Jerusalems. Many Bible scholars believe it'll be suspended up in the air like the moon is over the new earth. That'll be the home of the bride of Christ, the church. That's our home. The other peoples that are saved throughout history will be able to go in and out of it, as we'll talk more about it as we progress today. The nations will be living on the new earth. And there's not much in the Bible about what they're going to do. In fact, it's amazing. It's only mentioned there's going to be nations of people. And they're going to have leaders over those nations. The Word just doesn't tell us any more than that. Of course, you know, the Bible tells us it's not entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for us. So it's going to be just more wonderful than we can imagine how the new earth will itself operate. It'll probably have different laws than what the laws we have in this world. Because in the new earth, as we will be discussing, there's not going to be any curse. This old earth has had a curse on it ever since Adam and Eve sinned. But the new earth won't have a curse on it. Well, won't that be something, folks? No curse. Won't be any skeeters or gnats or anything like that. It's just going to be something, folks, what God has for us, what he's prepared for us. And the nations will be living on the new earth, and this is likely all those who are saved outside of the church age, both before the church age and during the millennial reign of Christ, those people that are saved, they'll probably have homes on the earth. Where will the angels be at is not told us either. All the angels, probably millions or billions of angels, there's only a mention of just a handful of angels in the book of Revelation, but there's billions of angels. Where will they be at? The truth be told, there's angels standing around in here today. There's probably angels right in this place, folks. And they're everywhere. But there's no mention of where they're going to be at in the new creation. But I'm sure God will have a place for them where they'll be serving also. Now, in verse 1, we saw he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. God and the Lamb, that's Jesus. God and Jesus are together. Remember, Jesus came from the bosom of the Father, John tells us in 1:19 of the Gospel of John. Now he's back with the Father. He'll be in a human body like us. We'll have a body like him. Won't that be something, folks?
Amen.
I'll tell you what, folks. Now, I was thinking last night as I lay in the bed and couldn't sleep about my horse. You know, I've already named my horse. I don't know whether you'd name yours or not, but I already got a name for my horse. Now, that's when he comes at the end of the tribulation time. The church comes back with him on horses. Now, on the new earth and the new Jerusalem, there's no mention of horses. So, I don't know what happened to the old feller. I hope we get to keep him around. Amen? Yeah. But anyway, there's no mention of horses in the new Jerusalem or on the new earth. But I'm sure all that's going to be taken care of by our great loving God and Savior. Here he tells us about a river of pure water. I've gone up in the mountains several times in my life. And I've seen the water coming out of the rocks of the side of the mountain and falling down into a stream. That is the clearest, purest looking water. But the water coming out of the throne of God's going to be even purer than that, folks. Amen. And that's going to be something else. And as clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God. Now, you talk about some real water. Our study today about eternity with a new heaven, a new earth, and God and the Lamb seated upon the throne there in Jerusalem is telling us about a sovereign, eternal God that's now living with his redeemed people. Think of, we're going to live in the presence of God Almighty in a reality we can't explain. Now, the Lord is with us today. He's with us today, but we just don't realize it. But we're told he's with us. I believe it. But in that time, it's going to be a reality. We're going to be seeing Jesus. The Bible says we're even going to see the face of the Father. Folks, it's going to be such a loving presence. There's going to be so much love everywhere in that day. Amen. When we're with the Lord and there's no curse, no evil, no injustice. It's all a loving relationship that we're going to be experiencing, and it's going to last forever, forever. What an experience it's going to be. John said in 1 John 4:7, Beloved, let us love one another. We're supposed to love one another today. as God's children, we're supposed to love one another, care for one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. So if we're not born of God, we lack love that we ought to have. And he that loveth not knoweth not God. Yesterday, Faye and I was watching TV, and I'm sure y'all probably seen it too. This dude that walks up behind this guy and whoops him side the head, knocks him down, and the guy's got brain damage now. And then this guy just, the law doesn't do anything for him much initially, but now they've rearrested him, I understand. That guy don't have no love in him, folks. Just to walk up to another human made in the image of God and just warp him out of no reason. There's no love in a person like that. That's what John says here. That's what John says here. He that loveth not knoweth not God. He don't know God. But he don't know what's in store for him if he dies in that shape either. He's going to be in bad shape forever. He's going to get more than a warp side of the head. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. If God would love people like us, we ought to love one another, folks. That's what God, John the Apostle of Love, has written for us about this God we're going to live with forever in eternity. And it's just going to be so wonderful, folks. It's so wonderful. Then he talks about the water of life. The Apostle John sees not only a pure river of water streaming from the throne of God and the Lamb, but we all see the water of life is mentioned here. We all know how important water is in this life, don't we? You let the electricity go off all of a sudden and the women can't get any water. I can't cook. I can't do nothing. The washing machine stopped. Life stops when the water stops, amen? Water's important. We won't ever run out of water in heaven, folks. Amen. Clean water is essential. There are places in this world where water is scarce or poor. Poor water. But the throne of God will supply pure water of life for eternity, for the needs of God's people. In eternity, we are humans with human needs that God is going to supply for us forever. Today, you and I, we struggle sometimes to take care of our needs, don't we? You got to plan. You got to work to make sure you take care of yourself. If you've got anything about you that's worthwhile, we got some people in this world who don't give a hoot about nothing. But if you got any character at all, you care about yourself. We need water to drink, to take a bath. Well, let me restate that. Will we need water to drink in heaven or with the Lord? Will we need to wash? Will we need to take a bath? When we get to the New Jerusalem with our new bodies? I don't know. The Bible don't say things like that. Makes you wonder. Makes you wonder. Jesus told a woman at the well, he said to her, whoever drinks this water shall thirst again, that water at Jacob's well. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. You know, the water Jesus was talking about was eternal life. When you accept Jesus, you've received eternal life. You've drunk from the fountain of living water. That's the reason we're in church today. Something happened on the inside of us. Something happened on the inside. Makes you want some more, don't it? Makes you want to hear some more. It's this water, it's springing up. Makes us want to go be with the Lord one day when this life is complete. Jesus is talking about salvation to that lady. And of course, she got all excited about it. He also talked about that tree of life in verse 2, in the midst of the street of it on either side of the river, was there a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The tree of life was in the Garden of Eden to start with. Remember that? God said to Adam and Eve, he said, don't you eat from that tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or you'll die. And there was a tree of life there. And they wouldn't eat from the tree they weren't supposed to eat from. Just like a youngin' today, right? Don't you do that? And that's what they do. Right? Yeah. Yeah, they eat from the side. Well, the tree of life then, I don't know what happened to it back then. It may have sat there. I know God put angels outside so they couldn't go back into the Garden of Eden. It might have stayed right there till the flood of Noah's day come and destroyed the Garden of Eden. I suspect this would happen. But the tree of life somehow wound up in heaven, folks, because we find it right here. It got transported to heaven somehow or another. Yeah. The Bible says on the middle of the street was a river. On each side of it was a tree of life producing 12 kinds of fruit every month. 12 different kinds of fruit. I like fruit. I can't afford it now. Faye bought a peach the other day. Was it $3? Uh-uh. How much? Okay, $1.87 just for a peach?
But I didn't give it $1 for it.
One peach. My goodness alive. Yeah. Will we eat with our new bodies when we are in eternity? Chapter 22 that we're in is about eternity now. This is on the new heaven or the new Jerusalem and in the new earth. I suppose we will eat because Jesus ate after he had rose from the dead. He ate several times. It might be we can choose to eat or not to eat. If I know my brother Junior, he'll choose to eat, amen, because he eats all the time. We'll eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb, I know that. Because after we are married, after the church is given to Christ as a bride, there's going to be a marriage supper, marriage feast. We'll eat then with the Lord. Boy, that's going to be a big table, won't it? When all the people that saved since Pentecost for 2,000 years are saved, all the saved people get together for one big marriage supper, that's going to be a big meal. That's going to be a big meal. I reckon the angels will prepare that. Amen. I reckon the angels will prepare that. The tree of life was in the Garden of Eden, but now we find it up in the New Jerusalem. The Bible does not give us any information about our new bodies in eternity. A lot of questions the Bible don't answer. We have questions, but there's no answers. But one thing for sure, there's not going to be anything in eternity when we get there that'll disappoint any of us. You won't be disappointed in the least, not anybody. And what we're going to be doing is worshiping the Lord. That's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be worshiping the Lord when we see the one that will love us so much. When we see the Lord, we're going to fully then understand how lost we were. Today, generally speaking, we don't realize or understand how really lost we were, because we're kind of blinded to really how lost we really were. You just stop and think about it. Before you ever got saved, you didn't think there was anything wrong with you. Happy-go-lucky. Go here, go there, do as I please. And one day you heard the gospel and got arrested. And you got saved. Well, you got saved and life changed. That's true. Now, I know today I'm talking different from normal preaching, but I'm talking about eternity with you today. But when I think if we won't fully discover how lost we were to be with the Lord. But it's going to be just so wonderful for us, folks. There's a lot of questions the Bible don't answer for us. Excuse me. God's given us all the information we need because we're supposed to live by faith. We're supposed to live by what this old book says. And then he has eternity to tell us everything we need to know. Amen. Yeah. There's not going to be any marriage in heaven. Did y'all know that? No marriage. So in eternity, what will our relationship be? There'll be women in heaven, I reckon. Reckon there'll be women in heaven. There'll be women in heaven, amen. So, but we won't be getting married. It makes you wonder. I know how close me and my wife, how we are. And, you know, I don't want to be separated from her now. And, you know, I don't have anything against being with her forever in heaven. But we're not going to be married. Jesus said in heaven, they're not giving in marriage. So I don't know how women and men are going to be living apart. See there, that's what mine does for me all the time. See, she's got to go to heaven and be with me to do stuff like that. Amen. Amen. I wouldn't take $1 million for her. Anybody got $1 million? Amen. Jesus said, "You do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God, for in the resurrection they neither marry or are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." Angels don't get married, and so people won't be getting married in heaven, except we'll be married to Jesus as the church, and that's not some kind of a sexual union, folks. That's very intimate relationship of love. That's pure love. And I tell you what, folks, it's going to be so good. It's going to be so good. It's going to be so good. We know we will be with and see our loved ones because in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-15 tells us that. We're going to see our loved ones. Boy, that's going to be something to see our friends and loved ones and family members that we've known in this life. I just had a friend to leave this week. I hadn't seen him in years, but he used to ride my school bus. But he went home to be with the Lord. His funeral was yesterday. Jesus has told us something when he said, not knowing the power of God. I tell you what, not knowing the power and the wisdom of God, if a marriage relationship can be so good here, church, listen to me carefully. If God can make a good marriage relationship so good here, think about how good heaven's going to be even though we're not married. It's going to even go a step beyond somehow. I can't explain it. I don't know. But God will not give us anything less. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It's going to be something. He's not told us much, but he's told us we're going to be with him forever, and it's going to be wonderful. Let's talk about the earth people. Will the people on earth like Abraham and Job and Moses and Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, and David, to name a few, live in the mansions on the new earth? I reckon they will. Apparently they'll be on the earth, living on the new earth, because they weren't in the church age. They lived outside the church age. And women like Sarah and Rebecca, Leah, Rachel, Naomi, and Ruth, they also be living on the new earth, if I'm understanding the Bible right. Now, and the Bible doesn't say a thing in this world about what they'll be living in. It's the church they're living in the New Jerusalem. Now, on the other hand, the people living on the earth, they're going to be able to come into the New Jerusalem. They'll be able to come. And the Bible says they're going to be bringing their glory into the New Jerusalem. And I got to thinking, will people be farming? Would they have a Kubota and a John Deere and an International farming? And there won't be any pests? I don't know. What grand scale God has got. People's going to be living on earth. They're going to be doing something, church. And I'm just trying to expand your mind to see what God can or may be doing in the future with those of us that go live with him for eternity. Because we're not going to be sitting on a log doing nothing all day long. We're going to be serving the Lord. Did you know that, folks? You're going to be serving the Lord. You're going to be serving the Lord. You know what you do today? Let me just use me myself, because it works with y'all too. I get my recliner. I lean back. Honey, on a glass of tea? Sure do. She brings me a glass of tea. What you want for dinner? Whatever you got. Breakfast, she brings me dinner. I'm sitting in my recliner. You want any dessert? Yeah. What you want? I want me ice cream cone. She brings me an ice cream cone. What's she doing? She's serving me. She's serving me. And once a week, I take her trash out. Amen. Amen. Here's the point I'm trying to make to me, church. Listen to me. When you get to heaven, you're going to be serving the Lord. Did you get what I just said? She's serving me, and I'm serving her. About all the time down here. That's what we're doing. Amen? When we get to heaven, it's not going to work like that. We're going to be serving the Lord, church. Amen? Amen. We're going to be serving the Lord. We're going to be doing what He wants. Down here, He's told us to do things, and we probably aren't doing them. Amen? We probably aren't serving Him like we ought to be. We ain't doing what He said to do. But when we get to heaven, we're going to be serving the Lord. But it's sure good down here when you're sitting in your recliner and your wife brings supper and puts it in your lap. Amen. Amen. Amen, folks. Yeah. In Revelation 22, verses 3 and 4, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. We're going to serve Him. And they shall see His face. Think about seeing the face of our Lord, folks. Our Creator. How many of y'all gone out and looked up at the sky and tried to see the Lord in the sky, in the clouds? Have you ever tried that? I see somebody shaking their face. Yeah. Some woman back in when I was a little boy on that little tenant farm over yonder on the Chicken Road. Some woman back, I guess, in the 40s, threw up a camera in the air and took a picture, said, "I'm going to take a picture of God." And she took a picture, and it appeared in the Robinsonian, and you could see a face, and they said it was the face of God. I won't believe it, but it sure looked like a face. But we're going to see His face. We're going to see His face, the face of God, folks. You're going to see we're going to see the most loving face. We're going to see the most loving face. You mamas, you see a mama, how she loves her little child that she don't want to abort. Amen. A mama really loves her little baby. You see how she loves it, and Papa too, if he's anything to him. They love that little thing. They love their children. I know I love mine. That's the way God's going to love on us, folks. You're going to get the love of your life for eternity from a loving God. Yeah. Think of living where there's no trouble or problems with nature or people or our health. We won't have any health issues. I tell you what, I'll be glad when I get rid of all mine. Because I tell you, it makes life hard when you got health issues. We're not going to have any problem with the devil either, because he's going to be over there screaming in hell. Amen. Think of living where the water of life is flowing freely, where the tree of life is growing and there's never going to be a curse. Living where God and Jesus is at. And we're going to be so glad to serve Him. I remember when I was a little boy, I would say, "Daddy, can I do this?" Or, "Daddy, can I do that?" To do it for Daddy. "Daddy, can I do this?" That's what we'll be wanting to do for the Lord. "Can I do this for you, Father God? Can I do this for you, Father God?" We're going to be excited, church. Let's get excited now. Let's get excited now. Because that's where we're going. We're going there. And it's going to be wonderful, church. It's going to be wonderful. We ain't going to sit around like, "Dum, dum, dum, dum." We're going to be excited. And we're going to be loved. And we're going to love Him. Hallelujah. What a God. What a Savior. And we're going to see Him. And He's going to have His name on our foreheads. Amen. He's going to have His name. You know why? He said, "That's mine. That's one of mine." Amen. That's one of mine, church. In verse 5, we're told there won't be any night there. Won't be any night. Night's kind of, Well, when I was a youngin, I was kind of scared of the night. Amen. I'd walk with Daddy that old back of barn at night with a lantern, and I'd walk as close to Daddy as I could because I didn't like the dark. Amen. There was boogers out there, I thought. Yeah, there's not going to be night there. No need for candles or electricity or the sun. Not going to be no sun because God is the light. What a time that's going to be, church. Think about living where the glory of God is always shining. The glory of God is always shining. I live in a world today where the sun is always shining. Where you can see it or not, it's still shining. But it won't put the glory out that the glory of the Lord will be when we live in His presence, church. When we live in His presence. God, we're told we're going to live forever. Living forever. When life will never end. You'll never even think about, I might die someday. I bet today you've already thought about you might die. Or you're going to die. When we get our new bodies, we'll never have that thought again. Won't that be something, church? You're going to live forever. And we're going to live in those kind of conditions forever. The conditions won't change because we live with an unchanging God. He's an unchanging God. Oh, my goodness. And John's told to write all this down. John the apostle, the angel said, write it down, John. Write it down. 12 times he's told, write it down. So I'd know about it and you'd know about it. What's in store for you and for me? God's prophets were used to write down God's word for our benefit. The Bible is the Word of God. I've told you this over and over. Don't you ever doubt the Word of God. It is true. It's not a fairy tale. It's not the writing of some old men with rambling thoughts. No, the Bible is the Word of God. Peter said in 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God told those people what to write down. In our Sunday school lesson today, God spoke to Ananias, a man out of the blue. We never heard of him before, and he only was mentioned a time or two. But God picked out some man he could use for a purpose to deal with the Saul of Tarsus, who would be the great apostle Paul. So God used people. We're living in a day-to-day church when the Word of God is being neglected, abused, and despised. Some people are even calling it hate speech, even in our own country. Hate speech. I'll tell you what, they better not walk up to stand before God at the judgment because they're going to be in bad trouble, but they're going to be brought there anyway. Yeah. Scoffers and atheists in classrooms of colleges and schools are causing many students to lose faith in God and the Bible. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be in those scholars' places for anything. When they meet God teaching young children, brainwashing them with a lie, their lies on evolution. Revelation 22:7, behold, I come quickly, Jesus said. That word means he could come at any minute. That's what it means, imminency. He could come at any second. We could be out of here any second. And that's the way it's been. The last 2,000 years, at any second, the Lord could have come. But he's working out a program. He's working out a program. And he said at the end of the age, there'd be a falling away. And we see it today. Churches, their attendance is dropping off. People got other interests. Talks about how it would get so wicked at the end of the age. We see it today. This, I live in a country now, was nothing like what I was brought up in. It ain't the same country. We're headed for judgment. In fact, today, I believe God's judgment's on this country. And that's the reason I believe Jesus could come at any second. John has this unnamed angel. Jesus has this unnamed angel to tell John he's coming quickly. He could come at any time. Those who are living by faith in God's word is going to be blessed when he comes. People who plan to get saved will be lost. Oh, I was going to get saved next Sunday. Too late. Jesus came this Sunday. People who do not believe the Bible is going to be lost. People who mocked and made fun of the Bible is going to be lost. All unbelievers in Jesus Christ is going to be lost when he comes. It's going to be too late. They're going to face the tribulation time that I have been going through with you and giving you an overview of over the last few weeks. And that tribulation time was a horrible time. It's going to be a horrible time. Even people that say, and so many will be saved during the tribulation, you can't even count them, the Bible says. But they're going to suffer immensely in the tribulation. Most of them will be killed. And a lot of them by starvation, because there won't be any food. It's just going to be horrible. It's going to be horrible. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard them and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, in verse 8 and 9, see thou do not it not, for I am thy fellow servant of thy brother the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. When John the apostle saw this angel, he fell down before him. But the angel said, hey, don't worship me. Worship God. We're not supposed to worship anything but God, or anyone but God. Only God is worthy of our worship, church. He's our maker, our lover. He's our redeemer through Jesus Christ. Worship God. We come to church today to worship God, to praise God, to love God, to draw together with our brothers and sisters in the like faith, to encourage one another to worship God, live for God. And then John is told in verse 22 of Revelation. He saith unto me, seal not the prophecy of the sayings of the prophets of this book, for the time is at hand. This book is not to be sealed, the book of Revelation. It's to be opened so people will know what's going to take place. Isn't it something that God has given us, this book of Revelation, with all the knowledge that's in it, for the end time, so people can know and be prepared and be ready? But did you know that most preachers won't even preach out of it? Most preachers won't even preach that book. Most church members never hear it. And the Bible says we're to preach it. We're supposed to preach the book of Revelation. Some say, well, I don't understand it. Well, you ought to study then. You ought to study then. You ought to pray then. No, I'm not no great scholar, but I know enough to know what I know. And I know what I know is true. I read behind some of the greatest scholars there's ever been. In my library, I got their books. Yeah. Yeah. Don't seal this book up. Let everybody know about it. It's an open book. And Jesus could come at any moment. The book of Revelation is also the end of scriptures. There's not going to be any more scripture. And the Bible warns us you better not add to it or take away from it. And we got a lot of preachers doing both today. Doing both today. We'll discuss that some more next week in our final message on Revelation. Let me end our thoughts today with a couple of scriptures from the New Testament. I'm crucified with Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, I was crucified. I died with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. How do I live? Because he conquered death. I died with him. My sins was nailed there. And when he arose, I live, Paul said. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What a great passage of scripture. Galatians 2:19. You ought to have it marked in your Bible. Great passage of Bible. In the Bible. I'm crucified with Christ, yet I live. What a great statement. And Paul said, rather, Peter said in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other way to get saved. You can't save yourself. Nobody else can't save you. But there's only one name that can save you. Neither is there salvation in the other, for there's none of the name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We got to get saved, folks. And only Jesus can do the saving. And it's by faith. Isn't that great? You don't have to do a thing to get saved. You can't do anything to get saved, according to the Bible. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. It's by faith in Jesus, who died on the cross for me. I was the guilty one. And when we trust him, he'll give us salvation. He'll give us eternal life. And boy, what a future is awaiting for every person that's wise enough to believe on our precious and our wonderful Savior. Yes, he's the water of life. He's providing fruit from the tree of life. And what a wonderful life we're going to have for eternity. And may God bless you. And you keep sharing that good news with others, inviting others to church. Be a living testimony of the grace of God. You'll never regret it. Father, thank you for this time, this opportunity you give us today. I pray for the salvation of many souls, Lord, on this Lord's Day. I pray also for the soon return of the Lord, as John the Apostle ended the book of Revelation. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Thus we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.